We are glad you're here. We do really appreciate you coming and being with us. I'd like for us this evening to think about, by faith, Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 8 through 10, we read there in that chapter a number of different people and their faith, but in this particular case, it talks about Abraham and says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. As you look at this very brief account of what happens, and you go back and you look at Genesis, it's also a very brief account, but what we see is that Abraham did what God told him to do. And he didn't question God, he just did what God told him to do. And that was to leave his homeland, to leave his country, where he had lived and where he had been all of his life. And now God says, okay, I want you to leave, I want you to go. And Abraham did that. Now, the thing is, he's going to a land, he doesn't even know where it is. God said, I'm going to show you when you get there. You just come follow me, and I'm going to take you to this new land. And when you get there, I'll tell you where it is. And you're going to be a stranger now. You'll be an alien in that land. You won't belong there. And this is where you're going to live. This means you got to leave your family. You got to leave your home, your relatives, all of these things that we all hold dear and cherish. And God says, Abraham, I want you to leave all of that. And he said, this is going to be your land. We'll give it to you. It'll be yours one day, and this is why I want you to go there. Now, in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 5, the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation, and I'll bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So, Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all the possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Now, as we look at this, this is a very major ordeal. It's not just a simple thing for Abram to take up and leave. Abram had accumulated quite a bit of wealth there in Haran. He had animals, he had servants, he had family, he had all of these things that would be a major ordeal for him to be able to take up all these things and to move to this place that God told him to go. He probably owned a home there. He probably had a place that was his. And now God says, okay, you just leave all that and you move to this foreign land. And he was 75 years old when this happened. You know, it's one thing to move when you're 25 or 30. It's another thing to think about moving if you're 75 years old and you have to go to a place that you don't even know where you're going. And this is what God told Abraham to do. Now, in addition to his own family, he had responsibility for his Lot nephew. His nephew, Lot. Was his brother's son. His brother died, and now Abram had taken him in, and he was responsible for him. And so he has responsibility not only for his own family, but also for his nephew, for Lot. Now, how did he know he's going to be saved? You know, when you think about that, here he's going to this foreign land. He's probably heard tales about some of those Canaanites because some of them were pretty ferocious warriors, and now he's going over there to that land of Canaan, and he's going to a place that he doesn't know about. How does he know he's going to be saved? How does he know the people are going to accept him? How does he know what really is going to happen? Well, the fact is, he doesn't know. He doesn't know what's going to happen. But God calls us today to put him ahead of family, to put him ahead of our homes, and the security of the things that we know. And God calls us many times so that we will do the same thing. He wants us to step out on faith, just like he did Abraham, and to live for him, even when we don't understand exactly what it is that's going to happen. Age is not a factor. You know, it's easy as we get older to want to slow down, and it's easy to say, well, I can't do that anymore, or I've done my share, or I feel like that somebody else needs to do it. And Diane and I were talking tonight about a man that is in his 90s, and he was going to fill in to preach for somebody else today. He doesn't quit. He still teaches Bible class regularly, and he still studies his Bible regularly, and he still is a blessing to everybody that knows him. Well, that's the way it ought to be. God has given him the health and the ability, and he continues to use it no matter what his age. And we need to understand that age is not to be a factor. God wants us to serve him whether we're young or we're old or we're in between. I asked Jacob, our grandson, the other day, I said this, do you think your mom and dad are old? Well, he's 9, fixing to be 10, and Bobby and Connie are in their early 40s. And so Jacob looked, thought a minute, and he said, well, they're maybe a little bit old. I said, what about me and Gran? You think we're old? He said, well, y'all sort of middle old. I said, well, what about Granny Gravitt? He said, she's really old. But you know, age is a perception, and we need to not ever quit serving God. It doesn't matter what our age is, we need to just continue to serve God. Matthew 10, there verse 34, Jesus said, do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be members of his household. Now, Jesus is not saying that this is going to be the situation for everybody and that he came just to cause turmoil. What he is saying is that there are going to be situations where if we determine that we are going to serve God and be faithful to God, we're going to antagonize family members. And we're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to please my family members and stay in a good relationship with them? Or am I going to turn my back on them and serve God and be faithful to God? And there are situations when that happens. And so he says, he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it. He who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. Abraham lost his life. Everything that he knew about his wife, he gave it up to go to the land of Canaan. And the only reason that you can possibly give for his doing this is God told him to. And so he went. He didn't argue with God. He didn't question. He just did what God told him to. And so God told Abraham to go to this foreign land, and he would show him. He said, I'll show you when we get there. You just go and I'll show you where it is. Now, this was facing the unknown on the Word of God, and this is the faith we must have. We must be willing to do things even when we don't understand why. In fact, there's no greater time in our lives that we demonstrate our faith than when we do what God says without understanding all of the ramifications or understanding the consequences, and we just do it because God said to it. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. It is knowing that something is true simply because God said it is true. So it's when we do not understand, but we obey God anyway, that we show our faith. And we see this in Abraham in this instance. We also see it in David. On many different occasions, David would do things that God told him to do, and it was hard to understand why, and maybe he didn't know all the ramifications of it, but he just did what God told him to do, and he was a man of faith, and he demonstrated that faith in his life. We see it in Peter, we see it in Paul. Peter didn't fully understand a lot of things God had him doing, but he did them. Paul and Barnabas are in prison in Philippi, or Paul and Silas, and there they singing praises to God. They're in prison for the Lord. A lot of times Paul didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew what God wanted him to do, and he did it. And this is the way our lives are to be. We just do what God tells us to do. We see it in Job as he suffered his trials. All the way through, Job doesn't understand why. And God never told him why. Job was faithful to God no matter what happened to him. And he didn't know why he had to suffer like he did. And there will be times in our lives that we may have to suffer. There may be times that we are tried. There may be times that we are tempted. And we don't know why we have to go through the things we go through. But we do it just because God said to it. And we always remain faithful to Him. And that's what He calls us to do. This kind of faith, that is saving faith, only comes by hearing the Word of God. And hearing the Word of God means more than just hearing the sound. It means listening to it and doing what it says. If we're going to hear the Word of God, we must be willing to accept what God tells us and then put it into practice. In James 1, beginning of verse 21, James says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the Word implanted." That Word is implanted into our hearts, our minds, and into our souls. Receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the Word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. It's not enough just to read our Bible every day. We need to do that. But that's not enough if we're not learning anything from it and we don't put it into practice when we read it. For if anyone's a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and once he has looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law of liberty and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Now this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained by the world. Religion has no value if it does not control our lives. And so we study God's Word to know how to live for Him and to be what He wants us to be. And then we must put it into practice in our lives. In Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways in these last days, has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And then He continues through the rest of this chapter, showing that Jesus is superior to the angels and is superior to Moses and the law that was given through Moses. And having done all of that, then in chapter 2 he says, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, talking about from Jesus, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It's a rhetorical question. There is no escape from the wrath of God if we don't accept the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. And this is the point that the Hebrew writer is making. We must listen to God and we must put it into practice. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 12, therefore I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, and have been established in the truth which is present with you. We have to constantly be reminded. We have to go back and restudy the stories that we've studied earlier, the lessons that we've learned before, and the material that we at some point felt like we knew it. And if we don't go back over it and don't restudy it, we tend to forget these things. And so Peter says, I'm going to remind you. But then notice what he says. I consider it right as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling to stir you up by way of reminder. In other words, Peter says, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep on reminding you. You're going to keep on hearing these things, and you're going to keep on being reminded of the things that you need to know, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I also will be diligent that at any time after my departure, you may be able to call these things to mind. He said, I want to make sure that not only while I'm alive, but after I'm gone, you'll still remember the things that I told you. So we need to be reminded of the Word of God over and over and over again, and then we need to put it into practice in our lives. Abraham believed that God would provide for him on his way. He believed God would keep him safe. because he believed that God would keep his promises. The question is, do we believe God today? You see, God has made promises to us. He has called us to live for him and to serve him. And he has promised that he will provide for us and he will take care of us and he will do what is best for us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, he says, "Younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you." He said, just turn it over to God. Doesn't matter what we face in life. Doesn't matter how bad it is. We can turn it over to God, and we can know it with full assurance that God will take care of us. He promised Abraham he'd take care of him, and he's promised us that he will take care of us as well. Humility is the ability to trust God and let him be in control in our lives. It's living with assurance in God and not trusting in ourselves. It's trusting God to keep his word and his promises. So it is strength in weakness. It is our weakness. Is the strength of God through us. Paul demonstrates this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. He says, "We do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life." He says, it was beyond what we could take care of. This is over our heads. We were indeed. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope. And he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of you. And so Paul says, yeah, it was more than we could bear, but God was there with us and God took us through it. And God has made that same promise to us. And in this same context, he says, God gave us this relief and this help so that we could help others in their affliction. Abraham trusted God. Therefore, he obeyed God. Tonight, will you trust and obey God? Will you let him be the ruler of your life and your Lord? You can come to Jesus in faith and turn away from sin and repentance. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven. This evening, if you're here and you're subject to his invitation, we invite you to come as well.